Hi there, it's Anna. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I swear to God, we are getting so close to it changing, and it is just getting more exciting by the second, for me anyway. And for you, because I'm giving you another treat. An old interview I did with somebody who has gone on to become a sensation because I know how to pick them. Georgia Hardstark. Do you know who she is? She's the co-host of My Favorite Murder, which is probably the biggest podcasting sensation in the world. She hosts it with Karen Kilgariff. She is so adorable. I was obsessed with her back when she had this podcast called Allie and Georgia's Slumber Party. If only I got paid money to predict who would be huge. If anyone wants to hire me for that, that's great. Anyway, so even though this interview was done years ago and the podcast had it was six names ago for all I remember, this is still relevant. And it is with Georgia Hardstark, the co-host of My Favorite Murder. So please enjoy this. And I swear to God, next week, it's the new podcast. All new. Get excited now. Give it up for Georgia. But yeah, so I told you, I became so obsessed with your podcast that it wasn't healthy.
Oh my God.
I do get like that a little bit about
podcasts. Oh, that's all I do is like find a podcast I love, listen to every episode until I can't stand the people anymore.
Yeah. And I never reached that saturation point because I stopped. Like I kind of legitimately, it was time to move on because I was beginning to think I was, you know, the fourth person in the room.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that. That the fact that we can do that somehow, I don't know how, is like fucking awesome.
Yeah, you got me to Malibu and back, which
holy
is a trek.
I am honored. I like the amount of like people that have got me places.
Yeah.
On podcasts. Like that's all I listen to is podcasts and audiobooks. I don't even listen to music anymore.
I know. I go back and forth, and that's the only reason I'm not listening right now is I got back on a music kick.
Oh, nice.
Now. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, so I told you, I discovered you guys because I happened to be in the bar in New York
so
the
weird.
Night the New York Times was doing a style story on you.
That was 2009.
Yeah, no, let's not get depressing.
Okay, okay,
here.
Yeah, no, I
so
will.
So quickly, we'll get to
right,
the depressing
okay.
part.
That but, yeah. night, we flew to New York.
To do the story?
Yeah, and we didn't have to, but we were just so gung-ho.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Making this little opportunity we had work.
It's so not a little opportunity.
I know.
By the way, that's huge.
Yeah, so we, like, were there. We were there for that.
Yeah, so glamorous. Just flew in
yeah.
for this style
But
story.
We're broke as fuck, and we both have, like, day jobs and stuff. And,
oh,
like,
that's...
lied to them that we were sick. Sorry, I have allergies.
Oh, that's hilarious. So, yeah. So, yeah, I was there, and I was like, who are these women that you're writing? I was talking to... I was introduced to the writer, and he said... for the New York Times, and I was like, oh, that's important and impressive. And he said, I'm actually here with these two women, and he, you know, I'm doing a story on them. They have this cooking show, and it's this huge hit. And
oh my God.
And so yeah, and so then I discovered you, and then what I saw you do storytelling.
Oh yeah, where?
So I used to have that show, as you know.
I know, I wanted to do your show so
and
bad.
And I wanted you to
right
so
when
bad.
We were ending it, I think is when I was like,
yeah, I know. And so and because you're friends with Allison. Oh, I've heard her episode on your
Agusti. Yeah.
I've been booking her for years.
Yeah.
And never knew it was pronounced Agusti till I heard it on your podcast.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, why didn't she correct me?
What did you say?
Agusti. How it's spelled.
That's close enough, though. That's not like...
I'm a freak for pronunciation.
I appreciate that because my last name, it's spelled how it's hard Stark.
Yeah.
Two totally normal words. No one ever fucking gets it right.
What
hard
they...
stack all the time.
I was gonna say that's crazy, but I almost could see myself doing it.
I see it and I get it and I don't, it's fine, yeah. But it's like the fact that it's just two words.
Yeah.
Kind of drives me crazy.
Two syllables.
Two, yeah.
Yeah, simple enough.
Yeah, whatever.
And then Allie has that weird spelling of her name,
mm-hmm.
which I'm obsessed with spellings too.
Oh, okay.
Like I have a friend named Seamus, and I always say Seamus. Because I'm picturing it.
S-E-A-M-U-S?
Yes.
That's so weird. You know what I can't stand? Wait, what's the name that drives me crazy? That I'm like, that's not fair. You can't do that.
Oh, Siobhan?
Oh my God! Yes.
Yes!
No! You're not allowed to do that.
Can you spell that
that's
word?
It. Well, I can now because I met a girl and I wanted to call. I was like, so how do you pronounce your name?
Yeah.
Or like,
how
that's not
it?
Written. And it's,
yeah.
It's, what is it?
I think it's S-I-O-B-H-A-N.
No.
I know.
No.
Illegal.
That's not how you spell your name.
No, it's so crazy. It's Irish, but still.
Sure, fine.
You know.
That's so funny. That's exactly
it. No, because it's enraging and confusing.
I wonder how I discovered your podcast. It wasn't because I was like looking for some specific guest. I just, you know, every now and then we'll get adventurous mm-hmm. with it. And then it truly is, I emailed you this, but it truly is the only podcast where women are talking about, and they're not being men-ish.
Yeah.
And you're being real and not talking about feminism, but actually, because that bugs me, frankly.
Yeah.
But actually being exactly what that is, which is like independent, yet sexy, smart, not trying to be smart women.
I appreciate, you know, it's funny because, you know, we do cooking channel stuff and we do all these things where we have to be a certain way, kind of, you know, we're ourselves, but we're, you know, an edited version.
Yeah.
So we started doing the podcast and it's so much fun because it's exactly who we are and exactly the way we talk. And so I like that that's what comes across because it's totally not what we're, but it's nice to know that, you know.
Yeah, it really is true. And I feel like, and I get why women can be like this, but women who are trying to sound intelligent and intellectual mm-hmm. is a real turnoff because it's really apparent.
Yeah, and it's like alienating because you can't identify with the person at all.
Yeah.
It's not who they are and it's clear.
Yeah.
I love a girl who will just freak out for no reason and like this, she's like excited about stupid shit and like be genuine about it.
Yeah.
And not like try to be a certain way and.
Yeah.
Or be like, you know, closed off. Like anytime I meet someone, I'm just going to be the most open, kind person I am until they turn out, if they turn out to be shitty, then fine. Then I'll stop doing that.
But, right. I know. I just think people either have that or they don't.
Yeah.
And it's completely just how you were raised.
Well, that's true. I was raised by a single mom who was a total badass, so.
Yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning then.
Okay.
So where was this single badass mom?
Well, I have this thing, okay, well, okay.
Oh, because I will confess one thing.
Yeah.
I do find your voices pretty similar.
Oh, yeah.
And so I have definitely had trouble tracking who's into what.
I've wondered that.
To me, but I'm not great at that.
I think it isn't, we hang out all the time.
So you talk similarly. Yeah. But not, I mean, I've now gotten that you stress about having to take care of your parents.
No, Allie does.
That's Allie.
Yes.
Holy shit. Okay.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And I know she's into the bugs.
Yes. Allie's the buggy science girl.
Wow, okay.
And what am I? And then I'm the other one.
I really thought that was you.
That's
like,
so funny.
I was picturing you.
Wow. No, she, her parents are sick. And so she's always having to take care of them.
And you were engaged for a while.
Yes.
Talked about it on the podcast. Okay, that was you.
I was totally engaged.
Yeah.
And okay. She, yes.
Okay, good. Okay, so this single badass mom.
Yes. So my whole family's from LA, but my parents decided to move to fucking Orange County when I was born. So I had...
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you saying that. I was raised in Orange County, in Irvine, which is like the yuppiest, you know, waspiest part of Orange County.
Oh, I didn't know that was true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So being a single mom there was like not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was... what she had to contend with.
And brothers and sisters?
Older brother, older sister, mm-hmm. but really close in age. I was a surprise.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and, you know, they're the coolest people now, but... yeah,
they weren't then?
No, they were. We just had such a... you know, we were so close in age. We were raising ourselves.
Right. Was your mom was working?
Oh, yeah, always working.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a fend-for-yourself situation,
mm-hmm.
which is great. And, you know, I think back, and I'm so happy I turned out the way I did, and I love my parents, even though they are crazy and made mistakes,
right.
But, you know, but I wouldn't want to raise my kid. If I ever have a kid, I don't want to raise them the way I was raised.
Right. What would you want to do differently?
I don't want... I mean, three kids?
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, and this is, I'm not saying anything bad about myself, but I feel like my siblings' lives would have been, and my parents would have been so much better if they only had two kids.
As long as you're not the one that should go.
Yeah, I'm not saying I should have never been born or getting like super depressed, but I know that like life would have been easier and they maybe wouldn't have gotten divorced.
Oh, really?
Because it wouldn't have been as stressful. Like,
yeah.
The money thing was a thing they thought about all the time.
But people choose to have, like, 12.
I can't even
imagine. No, I mean, crazy people.
Crazy, frankly. Yeah.
But so, okay, so they got divorced when you were how?
I was 5.
Okay.
And my dad, you know, he could have fucking moved on and got another family and skipped town, but he moved across the street from our house.
Okay.
In an apartment, and, he was just always in our lives.
Okay, so you weren't really raised by a single mom.
No, single parents, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you were in Irvine, and so you were kind of a crazy teen. That I know. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So I saw your storytelling because I never really went to storytelling shows, which was weird when I had one.
Yeah.
And I should have been scouting talent.
No, I get it, though. It's...
I was just kind of over it. Yeah. I was really only into mime.
Yeah.
Frankly.
No, I think that's totally fair. I don't think you need to have this, like, being into this genre to have a show that you like doing.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really know what I was doing, so I was just sort of playing it by ear. But somebody took me because they were friends with one of the girls who
did
the show.
What was it? Radio Picture Show?
Okay. It was at the Virgil?
Yeah. Lauren and Shauna.
Yes. Shauna, she was friends.
Shauna's a doll. Radio Picture Show. Such a great show.
It was great.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I really liked you. And then Nick Thune was it. And he was great.
He was great, too.
And so you talked about your crazy youth then. And that's what I know about it.
Yeah.
But I have no memory. So.
Well, so, you know, like, I don't know if this is what you went through, too, but, like, kindergarten through high school, same people the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Did you have that?
We switched at high school.
Okay. Well, so I, you know, in elementary school, I was a nerd, I was an outcast, you know, and I'm not saying, like, I'm a big geek, but,
right. You
know, I was not one of the popular girls, got pantsed in fifth grade in front of everyone.
Right, that's traumatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like I rebelled to not be seen as the person I was in elementary school, and I just fucking went off the deep end and just, I don't know, like, I met some punk rockers, some better punks, and started hanging out with them. And mm-hmm. It was basically this group of everyone who didn't have a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
All the people who weren't WASPs and all the people whose parents were somehow fucked up. And
mm-hmm.
It just kind of banded together.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
And you were angry together?
Rebellious.
And, like, so bad kids.
Yeah, I was... Yeah, they were bad kids. I was just making really dumb, you know, decisions for myself.
Like what?
I started doing drugs so young. And I know, I think back now, it's purely out of, you know, hating myself and having zero confidence whatsoever to, like, think that I am worth enough to make my own decisions and not care if these people like me or not.
Right.
It's just so sad to me, I think, back to that person, because I don't feel like that's me at all anymore. I don't know. I think I just rebelled against social norms mm-hmm. so much and wanted to get so out of that
mm-hmm.
and rush to be, you know, autonomous and make my own decisions.
Right.
That I just made so many bad ones.
And so how did the drugs start?
Well, the kids I hung out with, you know, they would drink and smoke pot, and every once in a while they'd be like in acid or something like that. And then just met a girl who did that and did it with her and just started hanging out with the people who did that all the time. And then I got caught with it in eighth grade.
In pot?
No, with
meth.
Meth.
Okay, so one day, so she's like, I have this thing, and did they call it meth then?
They called it speed. It's
speed.
Always called speed. I didn't realize that, like, that's not synonymous with meth.
Yeah, yeah.
Until I was older, and then, like, I was dating someone, and I said it as meth, and he's like, wait a second, I thought you just, like, did, pills.
Right.
Speed pills. No, oh, shit.
So one day, she's like, oh, I have this thing, it's really fun. Mm-hmm. Here, do you want one?
Mm-hmm.
And so you took it, and what?
I felt amazing.
Oh, you did.
Like, that's where the confidence came from. The first time in my life, I felt so good about life.
Mm.
And so happy. And, you know, we had gone to therapy. You know, I've been going to therapy since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'd taken antidepressants since I was a kid. Just because
my
whole friends and my family, we all have some sort of depressive anxiety disorder.
Yeah.
All
of
us.
Oh, you're a Jew, right?
Yes, I'm
Me
a Jew.
Too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of just in the blood.
Exactly. And I don't think it's a big deal, and I'm not, you know, it's fine, but it's like, it suddenly fixed that.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, therapy and drugs never did. Or, like...
Right. Or, yeah. So or they do it slower.
Right.
You know?
Right. Or more manageably and not...
Yeah.
Eating away at your brain or whatever.
So, okay. And so you started to, like, you started to get your own pills? Or how did you get them?
It was powder. Like, I...
Okay.
Did lines of... I can't believe it. And, you know, it's weird to talk about. And I'm like, so... not sure of how far I should go with it, because I do have this cooking show and this, like... But at the same time, like, Anthony Bourdain can be an ex-heroin addict.
It's true.
I don't know if, like, and I don't want to be ashamed of it. And I don't want to be embarrassed or feel like I'm, like, promoting this drug culture.
Right.
And, you know, I do have an issue with, like, men can do all these things they want to do and get away with it.
Right.
And girls can't, so...
Right, that's so interesting.
I just wonder how much I mean, and I'm not, I've never not talked about it.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't have to go.
No.
You have lots of other juicy stuff.
I'm not saying we don't have to. I'm just saying, wondering what you think about that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we don't have to at all.
Yeah, that's interesting that you don't think about it that much.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't look like a I Lost Me the Meth poster. Like,
no.
I clearly got over it.
Yeah.
And the reason I talk about it is because I can't fucking believe it. I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of people who stop doing meth and move on and never do it again is very fucking low.
And you also did it without having to get sober. Or I don't want to say having to get sober because I'm really happy I'm sober.
Yeah.
But, like, you didn't do that.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
You know?
It's just, I went to rehab. I got out.
So how old were you when you went to rehab?
I had my 14th birthday in rehab.
Oh, wow.
Met my first boyfriend in rehab too.
Right. Where'd you go?
I went to, it was called CPC Santa Ana. It was in Santa Ana.
Okay.
It's a little like dinky rehab.
Right. And your parents found it somehow?
Yeah. Yeah. It was take her to rehab right now or she's getting arrested.
Okay. Who said that?
A police officer.
Okay. And why did you say that?
I got caught in junior high at my school with I had done all the drugs. But I had, like, a straw and a razor and the bindle on me. And so they were like, this girl needs to go to rehab. And I also had an eating disorder, you know.
Let's talk about that. How did that develop?
I mean, you know, the women in the fucking 80s hated their bodies so much. I heard that from my mom all the time. I'm so fat. I'm so gross. Always on some kind of diet.
Yeah.
Not to blame my mom about it. But that's another thing I would do if I had a kid.
Yeah.
Have a healthy body image so that they don't go crazy. And actually, that's, I mean, to jump ahead, I dated a guy for 5 years I met in my early 20s, and he had a 10-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So for, you know, until she was 15, I had to be an example for her.
Crucial years,
yeah.
too, for that.
So I made sure, I mean, I almost think that's how I got over this eating disorder and, like, eating like a normal person.
Right.
And being healthy like that is to, you know, set an example for her.
That's so interesting. I will say, you know, because people, I know a lot of people who are raised in, you know, with alcoholic parents, and they say, most of them that I know say, oh, so I was never going to drink, and then I did at 20 and it all, the wheels fell off.
Yeah.
Or I know others who were like, they drank so much, I decided not to, and I never did.
Yeah.
And I feel like there were so many eating disorders around me that it didn't, like, my whole family is real weird about it, like, real, like, restrictive, and we're all exercise addicts.
Yeah.
And then all of my friends in high school were bulimic or anorexic. And then I had a ballet teacher who I went to. She was so awful. Miss Patterson, if you're listening.
Ballet is Judith, like, not the place to go to get like a healthy
image. And she used to, we were all so skinny, and she would put us on the scale and be like, in the middle of class, she'd bring a scale in.
Oh my God.
And then she would be like, this is, you have to lose weight.
Ugh,
I know. And so
awful.
I have like so many disorders, and I do not have that, nor
that's
have
great.
I ever. It's so weird.
Because you see this person, you're like, you're a horrible person, and this is your issue. I don't want to be a horrible. That's actually kind of why I quit meth too, is I was like, you guys are all really stupid.
Right.
And I was, you know, I got introduced to Ray Bradbury. That's what my story was about.
What it was about. Didn't you meet him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I started, a teacher in junior high gave me one of his books and was like, could clearly tell that I had some issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always loved reading, and she gave me Ray Bradbury kind of on the sly, and I started reading it and just fell in love. And just decided, like, these people are so stupid, the ones I'm hanging out with, they're not intelligent. I just want to stay home and read all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do well in school. I didn't, you know, suddenly start doing well. I just stayed home and read a lot. And then, yeah, I met him when I was 16 to kind of thank him.
Oh, yeah. How did that happen again?
He was doing a lecture at the UCLA Book Fair, or the Festival of Books at the end of every year.
Happened.
And I happened to see it in the paper, because that's because the internet wasn't a thing yet, you know?
Yeah.
And I had this amazing teacher named Mrs. Mercer, who, she was just this great English teacher. And she helped me write a letter to him. And I wrote this long letter thanking him for everything he had done for me. And I went to the book fair by myself and gave him the letter, and he sent me a package 2 weeks later with, like, Zen and the Art of Writing, which is his book, and, you know, all these notes in it for me. And it was just like,
oh my God,
it was one of the most amazing days of my life.
Wow.
And then I went and got my nipples pierced to commemorate it.
Oh, I kind of remember that part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why did you, so were you still the rebel?
Yeah. Like, I mean, at that point I was kind of a riot girly.
Yeah.
So, which is, I think, so much more healthy than anything else, because at least that kind of, the point of that is that you're proud of yourself and who you are because you're a badass woman.
Right. Tell me about Riot. I dismissed it.
Riot Girl. I mean, I just watched the movie, the documentary, The Punk Singer, about Kathleen Hanna, who was the lead singer of Bikini Kill. It's such a great documentary. It's just kind of, well, the best I ever heard, and it was a lot of bands and zines and stuff, but the best definition I ever heard of it was, if men were ever treated the way women were treated, there would be a riot. That's, so Riot Girl is like, I'm not dealing with this, you know, patriarchal society anymore.
Right.
I can do these things myself. I can be slutty if I want to be slutty, but I'm also, you know, a fully formed woman and a badass.
Right. Right. And doing it consciously.
Yeah. I'm not giving it justice, but that's,
yeah, no, that's okay. That's good. And so then you went to rehab where they promoted like total abstinence of, you know, with drugs and alcohol, or
yeah. And you know, alcohol never wasn't a problem. I didn't even drink really until I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So that was never a problem, but yeah, I mean, it was a straight up, like, you know, hospital type rehab,
mm-hmm.
where everything was regulated,
mm-hmm.
group therapy, all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, don't do any, it was all, you know, teens and stuff.
And then did you get out and feel enthusiastic about?
Yeah. I mean, I started going to, you know, meetings,
mm-hmm.
and they were for young people. So that was really cool. And I also was like, oh, I have it so much better than these people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am so lucky. What the fuck am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was, I mean, I did start using again for a little while.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but then I just quit on my own accord.
Like, so still when you were a kid?
Like 14, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just for like a couple more months,
mm-hmm.
got into it. But you know, it wasn't fun. It was, I remember all the stories of these older girls that are like now fucked up and prostituting themselves.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't need to get to that point.
Right.
Let's not do that.
And so what was going on with the food and the eating then?
I mean, that's just always been a thing for me, is just not wanting to get fat and wanting to control my intake. And, you know, it's all about control and,
mm-hmm.
and body issues and liking yourself or not liking yourself. And I was this fucking skinny kid to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I grew up in a family of fend for yourself for dinner, and it would just depress me to open the fridge and think of, like, making food and dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of...
So you just... didn't eat much.
Yeah, I didn't eat much. And it wasn't like, I'm anorexic, I want to get skinny, or, you know, and I wasn't bulimic then very much.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just I can't be bothered to eat. It's mm-hmm. depressing. I don't want to eat.
Okay.
So it was never like a conscious, like, I need to lose weight.
And did you get really alarmingly thin?
Yeah, you know, I just saw a photo from my bat mitzvah, actually, and I look like a 40-year-old woman in it. I am so thin. My eyes are sunken in. Like, I don't know how... that was, except how anyone didn't look
right.
at me.
And nobody said anything?
I don't think so, no. The reason my mom knew is because I said to my sister, like, I think I have a problem. Will you tell mom? Because I don't want to tell her myself, but I know this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
And so she told her around the same time that I got caught with drugs. And
right, and then they were, like, just hoping this will, you know, this rehab thing will
yeah,
sort her out.
They added that in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my poor mom, like, I want to... You know, that's part of the reason I stopped, too, is this poor woman is working
yeah.
her ass off for three fucking kids.
Yeah.
Her life is not good. She doesn't have a partner, anyone, you know.
Right.
And I'm like, what am I causing her this problem for, you know?
Yeah. So you were never an addict, really? You just did an addictive substance enough to become addicted to it, you think?
I don't know if I was even... I don't think I was an addict. I think I was addicted to this lifestyle,
yeah.
to this image.
Yeah.
of being bad and hard and not getting, you know, I stopped getting made fun of. I stopped getting teased.
Right.
It worked on that level.
And so in terms of the deeper issues that it was masking, what
yeah.
happened with those?
I mean, I've been in therapy.
Yeah.
For so long.
Yeah, me too.
And it just, yeah, I love it. It just
mm-hmm.
slowly evolved to having self-confidence,
mm-hmm.
really.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just the fucking key is, for me at least,
mm-hmm.
was... not treating myself like shit because I liked myself enough not to do that.
How did you stop doing that?
God. I don't even...
So it wasn't like conscious, like, I'm going to do these things because they're going to help my self-esteem.
No, I think it was the Riot Girl thing. I think, you know, meeting other cool girls that were confident, older girls that were really confident,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, getting my own interests, like going to shows and bands and reading and...
Mm-hmm.
Just, God, I don't even know.
And Ray Bradbury.
Mm-hmm. Like, I am really, honestly, like, look back at that time, and I am, like, like by the skin of my teeth, I got away from that, and I'm so fucking, I don't know exactly how I did it. I don't remember my thought process completely, but somehow I did it, and I'm like, thank God I had the wherewithal to like stop. And then I got into my 20s when everyone started doing coke and shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I got away scot-free. I'm so lucky. I'm not going to do this stuff.
So you just didn't at all?
No.
And then, wait, and so bulimia, you sort of mentioned that. Yeah. Was that something that...
Yeah. I have a very amiable gag reflex.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
Yeah, I mean, almost all of my friends do, too. I hate throwing up. I think it's more painful for me than it is for other people, because I feel like I'm dying and want to go to the hospital.
Wow.
Which is, I think...
That's good.
And plus, someone told me in high school, oh, it doesn't work anyway.
It really? I'm sure it doesn't. In. No. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so horrible for you.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the feeling of throwing up. I really enjoyed it.
People love it. They feel like all this tension. I mean, I have, like... picking thing that is far grosser than making yourself throw up. So I get the endorphin release from something that is really gross.
I mean, I hate to say this, but it's like popping a good zit. It's just this release.
And look, it's been here for weeks. If I just left it alone.
I thought that was a mole, so you're good.
Okay, yeah, but it wasn't like that for a while. I thought chocolate on my face was a mole I'd never noticed yesterday.
Oh my God. It's
like, look at that. It's kind of cool. Would you feel like, oh my God, I'm stressed, I need a release? Or was it just, I'm fat?
Well, here's the thing that my problem was with all of it is that I love food and eating, and I always have. Like, food... That's the weird part, is I love going out to eat. I love a good meal. I love cooking. I've always loved cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But so I would overindulge and just feel bad about it. And then it was an option. It was always like, well, then I can just do this. It was never like should I do it? Is this going to be a thing? It was just like, well, I'm going to go bar for a minute and I'll feel better.
Would you tell your friends?
No. I mean, I knew it was gross. Mm-hmm. I always knew how gross it was. Mm-hmm. And now, you know. So it was just something I would kind of do alone.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time. It was just kind of, it was almost like an indulgence for me. Like, I'm home alone. I'm going to eat this great thing and then I'm going to go barf. And like, that's my night in, you know, which is so fucking awful.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just like, I mean, I relate to it on that. I remember being, I mean, this is different, but I just remember one New Year's Day where I was so hungover and I was walking and I was like, I'm going to smoke a cigarette because it's going to make me feel nauseous. And I was excited about that.
It's like this little plan that you get that it's,
it's weird.
Even now, it'll cross my mind. Like, I'll never do it again, but it suddenly will be like, oh, that's an option.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not, and I know how to quell that now, but it is this initial like, oh, well, I can just barf.
Yeah.
And it'll be fine.
Yeah. That's so weird.
So that I have to make sure that I don't.
Yeah. Fall. And that, you know, I do have a girl I know who was put on medication that actually Prozac helped stop that.
Weird, yeah.
Weird. I'd never heard of that.
Well, it's an urge, you know? It's like this unhealthy urge to harm yourself.
Yeah. I mean, when I quit smoking, I remember people saying the urge passes whether you smoke or not.
Huh.
And an urge only lasts 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think they made up the 5 minutes.
Thing, yeah.
But I experienced that where I was like, I need a cigarette. And then...
Well, when you have this option in your head to do something, if you wait a few minutes, like, and let it pass and think of something else, I feel like it kind of helps.
But I know from resisting food that I want at times, like, that the urge can go, but it comes back. It can come back.
Well, I'm really, really aware. The food thing now, I mean, of course I'm in the food world.
Yeah.
So I have to be...
super conscious.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I don't want to restrict myself. I really still, like, eating food and making good meals and having a great meal with people that I love, like, that's one of my fucking favorite experiences.
Right.
So I don't want to have issues around that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I make sure, like, I don't ever have, I don't eat bread, I don't eat carbs, I don't ever do that. I just won't overdo it so I don't feel like shit about myself. And I still overdo it all the time.
Right, right. But I think that seems healthy.
Yeah, I have a healthy enough body image now that I don't care.
Did you ever overdo the exercise thing?
Never did that.
You skipped that one?
Yeah, that was... I mean, I guess in high school I did some weightlifting classes and stuff and some aerobics, but that was probably part of that, but it was never obsessive, unfortunately.
Yeah. And you never smoked cigarettes?
I smoked cigarettes, but I never really liked them. It was an image
thing. Yeah.
Marlboro Reds. in high school.
Yeah, those are some harsh cigarettes.
That's so gross.
I was a Camel Lights person.
Really?
Yeah, so I remember smoking Reds and feeling, make no mistake, super cool.
Oh, the best, the coolest.
But sick.
But out of your mind, like you want to barf.
Yeah, yeah.
I even, you know, now and then I'll take a drag of a cigarette, but if I smoke a whole cigarette, I'll get nauseous.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, I'm sure I would.
Yeah.
And so then you came into yourself in your 20s, mm-hmm. basically, mm-hmm. and then you were working at a real estate agency? Is that what happened?
No, I was working at a court reporting agency.
Oh, I feel like that's been miswritten in stories I've read.
A real estate agency. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. I was working at, it wasn't even a real estate, it was like a giant conglomerate, like, we own buildings and right. complexes everywhere, like the big scary man.
But yeah, the man capital.
The man, yeah.
And so how did you go, like, how did that happen?
I moved back to LA after my 5-year relationship. What, didn't know what the fuck to do with myself. You know, got a job there, and luckily I didn't have to do much, so I started writing a blog, and I started writing, like, food articles around town, and mm-hmm. and I had become friends with Allie, and
yeah.
she was a journalist, so...
And so you guys were just introduced, or you met outside a bar.
Yeah.
Where one of you was peeing.
I was peeing in a bush.
Yeah.
We had a really close mutual friend who saw me and waved. I mean, that's just how I am. I'm just
yeah.
no shame. And,
yeah.
You know, a little shame, but right. not a lot. And I was in my 20s, so
yeah.
very little.
Normal behavior.
Right,
in my 20s,
right.
basically, so.
And then, you know, we met, and it was so, I had just moved back, and meeting new girlfriends after a relationship is yeah. so fucking hard.
Yeah.
So I just went out on a limb and was like, hey, do you want to go out with me sometime?
That night?
No, my MySpace messaged her.
Great. I love putting us in a time and a place.
Yeah. And so we just, you know, went on a friend date and mm-hmm. and just started hanging out all the time.
And I mean, because that was the thing when I was like obsessively listening to your podcast, I was like, they don't have fights the way
yes,
have
we have. Oh,
with
yeah.
my
no.
no, but like the brutal ones where you don't like speak to each other.
No, no, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We you
have,
do.
We have the worst fights you can ever imagine.
I mean, because those must be scary. Because when you go, oh, I can never speak to her again. It's like, no, our lives are so intertwined.
It's terrible. I mean, in the beginning, they were really bad and hurtful. But then we've learned how to communicate better. And yeah, like you are going to have to talk again.
Yeah.
So don't say shit that you're going to have to come back and, like, feel horrible about and apologize for.
Right.
You know, just walk away. So we have huge fights, and not as many anymore, but, you know, yeah, we have to keep talking and be friends.
Yeah.
So be careful and don't say terrible things. And, you know, she's a good person. I like her a lot. And
yeah.
I don't, and I have a big emotional wall up, and I have a really hard time being vulnerable, and she needs that from me to be vulnerable. So I've had to learn kind of how to not be a dude about it.
Yeah, know? I relate to that.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to therapy together?
Yep. She came with me to my therapist.
That's amazing.
I had an amazing therapist, and it was like we had gotten in our biggest fight ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, and then during the time of not talking, we found out we got our TV show.
Oh, wow.
So we were like, well, we have to go to therapy.
Yeah. You have just one session?
She came once, yeah. And I mean, it went well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for her it was like, well, this woman, this therapist, knows me so well.
I know, that's why it's great that she was willing to do it with, like, someone on, quote, your side.
Yeah, and I think she felt, like, worried that she was going to get ganged up upon.
Yeah.
But I ended up apologizing for some shit that I did.
And, yeah.
I think it went well.
So then you guys became friends. She was working at the LA Times.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically kind of in a jokey way said, mm-hmm. we should make this disgusting drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we created this, like, inside joke drink between the two of us. That was, we wanted dinner, dessert, and booze in one cocktail.
Yeah.
So we invented the McNuggetini. Because we were, like, in our 20s, single girls, running around all the time. We wanted right. something quick, and that was our inside joke. And so at the end of the day, I'd be like, oh, I need a McNuggetini.
So you made them regularly?
No, we never made it. It was
okay.
just a joke.
Okay.
We never made it.
And then as like then you did make it, and you filmed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, like, some friend.
Wait, our friend Peter Atencio, he's the director for Key & Peele.
Okay.
I know him. He's a great guy. At the time, he was just, like, you know, doing whatever. We asked him to film it for us. Came to my grandma's house, filmed it in my grandma's kitchen,
mm-hmm.
in our best vintage dresses,
yeah,
just as a joke,
right,
in a day, and put it up on YouTube.
And how do people find it?
You know what? At the time, there was this blog called This Is Why You're Fat.
Yes. The Richard Blakely thing.
Right. And they put it up.
So he just randomly saw it on YouTube.
I was friends with him, and then we were on Tumblr together.
Okay.
Or we were just like Tumblr friends.
Yeah.
And they saw it and, put it up.
And then what happened?
It just kept going. And then we got an email, a Facebook friend. We would G-chat all day.
Yeah.
About joking about having a travel show.
Right.
Cunts and Countries, I think, would be a great name. Or Bitches Abroad. That should be a thing. Mm-hmm. Just as a fucking joke. And then we were both like, hey, did you get a Facebook message from someone saying they're an exec at the Cooking Channel or a Food Network? And we thought he was a creep and it was a joke. And then we looked him up and it was real.
Yeah.
And then we got the email of the guy who wanted to put us in the New York Times as a, like, can these girls really make it off this one video?
Wow.
And so we're like, let's go to New York and meet the fucking Cooking Channel guy and meet and get the story written about us.
Yeah. And then what happened? And
then Food Network were like, can you guys make real videos that are like, or can you make these for real for the web? Mm-hmm. So we made, 10 web videos called Drinks with Allie in Georgia, just in Allie's apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And that went really well. And then we made, another web series called Classy Ladies, mm-hmm. out and about and in the kitchen. And then we got our show. I mean, it's insane.
And the show's been on for how long?
Well, we had 6 episodes of the show called Tripping Out with Allie and Georgia, where we went and had fun adventures in different cities and then came home and threw a party for our friends based on our...
Ugh, that's so ideal.
It was amazing. Yeah. But they wanted to make some changes to it that we weren't really happy with.
Mm-hmm.
So we pitched this other show instead called Surprise Party.
Mm-hmm.
So we just made a pilot for it.
Oh, great.
And so we're waiting to hear if we get more.
Okay.
And we're also on the show Unique Sweets on Cooking Channel. We get to fly around the country and eat sweets and desserts and then talk about it on camera. It's like best week ever for desserts.
Oh my God.
I can't even believe
it. Where have you been and what desserts have you had?
We've been everywhere and eaten everything. We did the Krona thing.
Oh my God.
I've
never had one.
It's fine. It's a donut. That's
a little
dirty, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've eaten more donuts than anyone probably has or should.
Right. But you only eat one for the thing, or do they do multiple takes and you have to...
They don't even film us eating. We just go to eat them and take notes and then go to New York to talk about them.
Ugh.
Somehow, that's my job.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So how often are you guys on that?
We're on that. It's about to start shooting. It was the number one show on Cooking Channel last season. And so we're about to start shooting again. So we've been on that for like 3 seasons now.
Amazing.
It's such a great job.
When did you start the podcast?
We started the podcast about a year ago. Dustin Marshall, the guy who mm-hmm. does Feral Audio Sauce at Meltdown, do some kind of bit and asked us if he wanted to do a podcast. We had this idea for Slumber Party and he was like,
mm-hmm.
hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been doing that.
Is it every week?
We try to do it every week.
Yeah.
It's 37 episodes of it and we've started doing live episodes. And
yeah,
they're like going well. Yeah. And so I think we're going to start doing that like once a month.
That's so... Because then you get the rush of...
Great.
An audience.
Yeah.
And he arranged that for you? Is that...
No. We just like signed with these managers at LEG and uh-huh. they're the coolest people and they were like, you guys should do this live and set it all up at the Improv.
Amazing.
I it's like such a thrill. I can't believe that I'm doing a show at the Improv. Like what? That's so fucking crazy.
So you supposedly had no aspirations of like being, like a media person or...
No, I mean, I love writing. Like, my thought was, like, I'm going to write a book of short stories about my fucked up, crazy, like, meth head childhood crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I've always been friends with comedians and just hung out with them as friends because they're cool people and I like going to comedy shows, I never did stand-up or anything mm-hmm. like that. So, we're in the food world where the comedy girls and the comedy world where the food girls.
Right.
So, it just kind of... I like being the comedy girl is better.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I mean, in the,
Yeah, being able to... I mean, and that's sort of my concept for this podcast is it's like there are a lot of ways to be dark talking about issues.
Yeah.
And there are podcasts that do that. And it's sort of, in my sight, too, it's like walking a fine line because these are life-threatening issues.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to be scary or I want it to show that like you can get through these things and not, spend the rest of your life tortured by them.
I love that because I don't think that it's these things to get you know, super depressed. I mean, if you have these crazy issues currently, you would have some shit to slog through before you get to a point where you can talk about it candidly and with, you know, a bit of humor.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be, you know, I want to talk about those things because I got over it and I'm better than, you know, I could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And I think it's ironic and funny and humorous and how lucky I am and like what a little shithead I was. I mean, yeah, I'm in awe that I, that somehow 14-year-old Georgia figured shit out.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And so what would you say to people who are, who maybe even have kids that are like that in that age or going through that themselves?
Oh my God. I think it really comes down to self-respect and liking, treating yourself, you know, the way you would treat your friends, which isn't, you know, ruining them and ruining their bodies and their brains. I mean,
but how do you do that if you don't inherently know how to do that?
Lots of therapy.
Yeah. And being with the right therapist too.
Yeah, right therapist and medication. I mean, I'm such a huge advocate of therapy, and I'm shocked when people are like, you know, therapy and medication is means I'm weak.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the meds too.
Me too. Like,
what are you on?
I'm on Wellbutrin and Lexapro.
Uh huh.
Like, I have a fucking chemical imbalance.
Yeah, me too.
I have, you know, that's just how it is. Yeah. I have crazy anxiety because of my genes, because of, you know, the life I've led, because
nothing that's your fault.
Right.
I know. I do think that the people who talk about that just simply have never felt what people with chemical imbalances feel.
Yeah.
Because if you did, you would never talk about it in, you know, as something that's weak or that's a choice.
But people think that their personality is going to change completely. And I'm like, well, good, because you shouldn't live your life.
Right.
You don't change completely. You just have a, you know, a positive outlook or a chance to have a positive outlook.
Yeah. I feel like you get to the beginning of the race.
Yeah,
least.
Exactly. You and know? The anxiety and depression that I have without this stuff is crippling. What's the fucking point of making myself go through that? It's almost like you're a martyr. Like, you don't want to, you know. And then there's the people who are terrified that if they do get to the beginning of the race, they're gonna suck at the race. And so it's better to fall back on the fact that, like, I'm depressed and I have anxiety than, like, have that out of their way so they can actually live their life.
Yeah, I do not understand that. I mean, it's funny. It's not funny. I was recently talking to my therapist about how I have a friend who just went completely MIA. And she was saying, you know, she would text periodically and say, I'm just really going through it. I'm really depressed. And I didn't really understand that, because when I get depressed, I get needier than ever.
Oh, yeah.
I do not go into the black hole and, you know, binge watch TV. I need to be out of my apartment and I need people. And like, and it feels scary.
Yeah.
Because I don't like being that way.
Yeah. My first instinct is to, like, lock myself up and watch, like, true crime shows all day. But I know, and, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're the one who loves true crime.
And, like, read about the Holocaust and shit. Because it's, like, I want to be deep in the shit. But I know, I am aware that that is a trigger for me. And if I'm doing that, it's because something's wrong.
Right.
So I need to get out and talk to friends or, you know, do something for myself.
See, I, you know, and I do think it's a little bit about my, like, throwing up thing. It's like, I feel like I won't survive it. I don't feel like I can withstand it. You know, to me, also, like, addiction is sort of like, I can't stand how I feel. I gotta change how I feel right now. And that's how I feel when I'm depressed. Yeah. I literally can't take it. That's too much.
That's good that you're aware of that and know what to do to fix it.
Yeah, I mean, but I just don't understand letting it linger with days of TV watching.
Sometimes I get it, because sometimes when I'm depressed, it feels good to fucking sit and wallow in it.
I do not understand that.
Really?
Yeah.
I wish it didn't. And I don't do it anymore because I know it's not good for me.
Right.
And I feel worse afterwards. But there's something, and I think that's a lot of people, you know, not taking medication too, is it's sometimes like you identify so much with the depression, and it's like, it's nice to, it's like a pig in mud. It's just like, it feels good. It feels sticky, and you can stay there, and you don't have to try. You don't have to try and do anything because you're depressed, quote, you know?
I don't.
I fucking No. And you know, my mom was, and I grew up with a very depressed mom.
Yeah.
And so napping, like, you know, I remember her just not wanting to get out of bed all day. Yeah. So I know when I take a nap, it's because shit's...
It's never because you're tired?
It's because I'm tired, because I can't fucking sleep at night, because I have anxiety, because my brain is will not stop thinking and thinking and thinking, and that's another problem, you know? It's just this cycle.
So how did you get on the meds, and when did that happen?
I started taking meds when I was like 13, on like just Prozac or whatever.
Did that work?
Yeah, shit's worked for me. Prozac and Zoloft, you know, here and there.
So why'd you get on this combo?
It's been a while. I mean, the Wellbutrin, I was off meds for a while, and then I realized, like, I was on the train in San Francisco, and there was some guy, like, down the other side of the train doing something that annoyed me, and I was so fucking pissed about it, and so angry.
I get that.
Yeah, that's not healthy for you.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter what that person is doing.
Yeah.
And I have to, I got on Wellbutrin, and that helped a lot, but I still have to be like, let go, it's okay if that person's doing a shitty thing, it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah. And I do think remembering, for me, I'm just so sensitive to annoying noises. Remembering that it's biochemical in my brain.
Yeah.
It's not their fault.
That's actually a thing that's helped Allie and I get along better, is me letting the fuck go. And, like, I'm such a control freak. Like, us driving together is a fucking crazy trigger.
But what about if you drive?
I am a crazy driver.
Oh, you are?
I am just, like... a race car, and I'm good at it.
Right, me too.
You know?
But yeah, but it scares people.
Yeah, so, I need to just let go of things and be like, when she's driving, we'll get there, no matter what.
Right,
and you, so hard. You being upset about it is going to cause you to get in a fight with each other.
Right.
So stop it.
Right. I get that. And the meds thing is really weird, because I do think in our society we do feel ashamed. Because I felt ashamed before anybody shamed me about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just thought people who don't need this are better.
Oh my God, fuck that. No.
I know, that's what I thought.
Are there people who don't need it? I don't think there are people who don't need it.
I mean, I think there are. My friend and I I've had a friend since I was 12, so we, you know, sort of have analyzed these issues to death. And, you know, because... she especially hangs out with people who are happy.
Normal. They're normal.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Who just, like, have very not exciting lives and...
I can't even understand that.
...are fine with that.
Isn't it weird that we have just, like, surrounded ourselves with people who are, like, neurotic, kind of?
Yeah, but I find... I've met her friends like that, and they are hard. I think they're so dumb, you know? And I do think that that's a part of it. Like, being smart is overrated in a way, because...
There have been moments where I'm like, wouldn't it just be great if I were happy to move to the suburbs, get a husband, and have children? How fucking nice.
That's your dream.
Would that be? If I wanted that. Oh, it would be so easy.
Oh, by the way, so you had a girlfriend. I just was going to say, not mention being a lesbian, so always sounds easier, right?
No. Well, no.
Really? Did you know there's this thing online about it?
What?
Oh my God, I have my computer.
What is it?
Well, okay, did you ever have a relationship where you shared custody of a dog?
Oh my fucking God, no. But here's the thing.
Who is that guy?
Oh my God, this fucking guy. Okay, my friend had a blog called Deal Breakers, right? And he asked me to write a guest post. Like, what is a basic deal breaker for you? And I wrote that a person who has shared custody with a dog...
Of a dog
with their ex is, like, that's a deal breaker. Because clearly you're still attached in some way and you're making the dog the excuse.
Right. I feel like you've said that on your podcast.
Yeah, and that's my theory, and I'm not going to argue with someone about it because I don't care about it that much to like, argue. It's not that big of a deal. And this guy...
thought you said it.
I did say it, but he took so much offense that he wrote this crazy...
No, but what he wrote, because I just read it this morning, was that you are the one who said, I shared custody with a girlfriend.
What?
and I don't see that dog anymore. And his rage is about... It's not rage.
Yeah.
Is about how you abandoned a dog.
Whoa, I didn't know this.
I'm so sorry that I am telling you.
No, this. I'm so glad you are, because, oh my God, I mean, I don't give a shit if people think that I had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I've never had a girlfriend.
Right.
So, That's just weird.
But yeah.
Is his name like Attackerman or something like that?
Should we look?
Yeah, right, let's look and call this person out.
Yeah.
Because the guy who responded, who ran the Dealbreaker blog, did say that he and a girlfriend had shared custody or something like that.
Okay.
What does it say?
It says...
Let me see. Wait.
No, it's really harsh.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
It's Attackerman.
Yeah.
And you know what sucks about that thing? Yeah. Okay. So this happened it's 2010 or something, right?
It was 2009.
Okay. So this happened in 2009.
Yeah.
But for some reason, his headline is so harsh that whenever people see it, when they Google Georgia Heartstrike, they click on it. So it stays up there.
Oh, wow.
This piece of shit. How do I fucking fix that?
I mean, could you write him and say, I think you misunderstood what I wrote, but his whole thing is clearly attacking people.
And clearly he
has other issues.
Has issues.
Yeah.
And me, fighting him about it is going to be, he's not going to be like, okay, cool.
Right.
I don't care. And, you know, that's part of growing up.
Yeah.
And being a confident person is really not, and I try so hard, and it is a trying thing not to give a shit what people think about you.
It's true. I mean, and the thing that's kind of funny about his harsh headline is you read it and you're like, let's just say you had a girlfriend and you had to see the dog and you didn't see the dog anymore. Like, really, that's not that bad.
Clearly, he says I share custody with my ex, my girlfriend's dog, blah blah blah. Clearly, you have fucking issues about it. Then you just prove my point.
Right.
You know what the fuck ever.
Yeah.
You know, people online are so mean. We were on this James Bond podcast where you talk about the movies and you discuss it. And Allie and I thought James Bond was sexist and kind of not a good movie.
Right.
And we got just the meanest comments.
What would they, what are they
doing? I mean, calling us cunts. We've been said this girl should get raped.
Ay, ay, ay.
It's just insane.
Yeah, I know. It's really, really brutal. I've gotten so much of it. And
I'm sure because you're a strong woman and it terrifies the people who would write comments like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, unfortunately, because I was on TV and I'm not anymore, the reason it slowed down is I'm not as visible, but it legitimately does not happen as much, but it used to be so hard for me, and now I really can honestly say I don't care.
Yeah, isn't that nice to not give a shit?
Yeah, a huge relief. I mean, I remember the first time I ever saw it, I was away with a friend in Ojai at this most charming little bed and breakfast, and the weekend was ruined.
Because
it, you know, and I cried, and...
It's really mean and shitty and bad, but those people don't know you. The loudest people are... the biggest assholes usually.
Yeah.
So you're not reading the good reviews. They're not telling you that they like you because those people wouldn't cross their minds to tell you what they think of you because you shouldn't care. And then a bad photo of me goes up. Like,
right.
Instead of being like, I'm so ugly, I can be like, that's a bad photo of me.
Right.
That's
right.
Not what I look like.
Yeah.
Or that's what I look like and it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. From that particular.
Right.
We all take bad photos.
Yeah. And struggling to be like, you know, Allie is clearly beautiful and the pretty one. And so.
Oh, that's ludicrous. That is so ludicrous.
Well, I feel like the cute one.
Oh my God.
The cute Jewy one.
Wow. Okay. We're gonna I know that you love yourself now, but I'm going to attack you on that. I think you guys are both beautiful.
Thank you.
And that's, it's just not even a debatable point.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I mean, I'm actually surprised that you would even say such a thing. Honestly.
Okay. Yeah. That probably is still an issue for me that I need to know with.
But I mean, I get it because it's like, you know, I mean, I feel like that is how people raise children is oh, well, she's the blah, 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 blah one and she's the smart one and he's the, you know, and it's like, well, what I know to be true about life is that we're all a mixture of many, many things, you know, and so none of us are just the anything.
Yeah, no, totally. That's very,
you know,
that's a very good point. And I feel good that you called me out on that because that is wow, that's a fucking contradiction.
It's just interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just and I mean, I think what's also notable about you guys is how similar you are, and you would think that would be too much for two people to be so, that's what I kind of love about you guys. It's like I said, I couldn't tell you apart on the podcast.
That's so weird because we think of ourselves as fucking polar opposites.
Oh, I mean, maybe your interests, but you know how that's what kind of like, what, you know, if you read articles about like, you know, what makes a strong marriage, and people think that it's if they have the same interests. Yeah. And the truth is that doesn't have anything to do with anything.
And then this thing with Allie is basically a marriage.
Yeah.
Like, we share a credit card.
What? Oh, because you have to expense debt. Yeah.
So,
and you share a website.
We share a website. We share a Twitter account. An email.
Well, she's on Twitter alone, but you're not.
I don't care.
That surprised me about you.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't care, and then by the time I, like, maybe would care, it's too late. I don't give a shit. I don't need to do that. I don't need to worry about, you know, have anxiety about not updating yet another thing.
I'm addicted to it, so it's that doesn't...
I get it. I'm kind of addicted to Instagram, and I hate it.
Yeah, you're into the Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't get into it. I mean, I do it, but I don't get into it. Yeah. I'm just addicted to the validation in super unhealthy ways.
I get that. I get that.
And literally, like, I post something, and then I check back 5 minutes later.
I posted this video on YouTube recently, just my own, which is, like, I don't do. Mm-hmm. And I've been fucking constantly checking it to see how many views it has, which... And the comments, which I never do, because it's me alone. And I never do that kind of thing alone anymore.
Right.
Like, I'll write alone, and I'll do storytelling stuff alone.
Right.
But, like, a video, I don't do alone.
It's so strange. And then, and then we think that these strangers are going to... I give strangers' opinions more, importance than the opinions of the people that, like, know and love me.
I just keep thinking, like, when I look at this stuff and care about this stuff so much and spent, like, you know, 4 hours looking at Facebook stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The end days are going to come so probably soon. And what a waste of time. We're...
I know.
Oh, God.
I know.
It doesn't matter.
I know. And, like, I'm sure there are people who do it in a healthy way, but I do think our society is making us... That whole thing is making us sicker and sicker and sicker,
like,
you know?
I mean, even though I had one and I loved it, like, blogs and Pinterest and everyone, like, comparing themselves to each other and showing how fucking charming their lives are. Doing things just to take Instagram photos of it parties
I
and
know.
Show people how great their lives are.
I know.
When really they're, you know,
miserable. Inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Life is not what it looks like it is on Facebook.
No.
So I think I've asked everything. Is there anything that you want to, like, say, tell the listeners?
Wear sunscreen.
That's what Baz Luhrmann says.
Yeah?
In a song.
Really?
Maybe I'm getting this mixed up, but I feel like he has a song. No, he gave a speech. You have to look this up.
Okay.
Like, he gave us, like, a graduation speech somewhere, and then someone put it to song. Maybe he did.
I love it.
And it's called Wear Sunscreen.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's right. But, just take care of yourself. You know what? Be gentle with yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good way to live, is just treat yourself with care and gentleness, and don't be so fucking hard on yourself.
Yeah. And, like, if you notice you're talking horribly to yourself, think, if I had a child, a 6-year-old child, would I ever call this child stupid, fat, all of these things that, like, I might call myself?
And you know what? Like, it's okay. Like, I think for the rest of my life, I'm going to have to call myself out on my thoughts. Like, that's just a thing that I'm going to have to be like, no, don't think that, you know, which I do all the time.
Right.
But that's okay, and you need to do that constantly, and it becomes habit.
Yeah, and you change your brain chemistry.
Yeah,
you really can.
Definitely.
So who knows if you're going to have to do that for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah.
Today,
it's definitely been a thing. You know, my therapist made me do that, and it's been a thing that's I've done, and now it's, part of it, where I don't think that way, and if I do, I just remind myself to go back on track.
Yeah. Well, this was so charming.
Oh my God,
lovely.
I hope this was okay. Thank you for having me.
No, it was fabulous. It was super fun. So people can find you on the Twitter at Allie and Georgia.
Yeah, Allie and Georgia.
Was there ever a fight about whose name goes first?
No, just worked better with Allie and Georgia.
Yeah, alphabetical.
Yeah.
And you're on Tumblr?
We're on Tumblr, Allie and Georgia. I'm on it myself, but I don't really go to it. But we're on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram as Hardstark.
Uh-huh.
And
like her YouTube video of her by herself.
Oh,
it's really important. Okay, you guys?
And Slumber Party Podcast.
Slumber Party Podcast, please. It is a must
thank
listen.
You better be on it. Will you come in the teepee?
I would die to. It feels like you guys have a lot of, like, YouTube stars, though.
We're friends with some of those people, like Grace Helbig and all that, and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So they've come in and done that. But mostly it's our, like, friends in comedy.
My favorite, like, thing a guest of yours ever said, because I think about it actually every day, was, I don't know who it was, but she talked about going to, like, the Mac store, and the person was, like, selling her something, and she goes, "Yeah." The saleswoman said, mm-hmm. "When I'm going to do nothing for my face, I'll just put this on." And the guest was like, "This thing that I've never heard of is like what this woman does." Yeah. And it's like, do you remember that?
I think it was probably Mamrie Hart.
Might have been.
Maybe.
Die to come in the TP.
Yes,
any
please.
Day.
Yes.
And so yeah, and thank you just so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Know I've wanted to have you on it for a while.
I really appreciate you having me.
Okay, it was so fun.